Step on down. Good morning. You know, I don't know about you, but when we were driving around yesterday looking at all the leaves and stuff like that, I just like it when you have the reds and then you got a little bit of something. Sometimes some trees look like they have a red and a green and a yellow all in one leaf. So I'm just kind of going, oh. You know, how God just creates in wonderful ways there and really amazes you, amazes me anyways. Wonderful to be with you this morning on a beautiful fall day today. It's good to be in the Word together, hearing all these the different songs and the prayers, and just being together is a wonderful time. I don't know about you. Have you ever slept in a way that when you woke up, your ear was like numb and it's hot and it's hurting and it's starting to tingle? You're just kind of going, oh, man. Man, what is happening here? Have you ever done that? I don't know how I sleep sometimes, but I wake up and I'm just sitting going, oh my. My ear is tingling for sure. You know, with the tingling ear, a lot of times you're thinking about, you know, getting relief. First of all, it takes a little while, and it was a little numb, and then it kind of starts to get a little bit better, and then it starts to tingle, and you're kind of going, oh man, and you're kind of doing the Dumbo thing, you know, flapping your ears and things like that to try to get the blood circulating in it again. But that's just one thing when you're talking about hearing and ears, you know, it's so important, you know. Active listening is really an art form if you're really a good listener, and some people are good fakers of being good listeners. Well, just a few weeks ago, because we've had a couple other people coming in and speaking during this time, which has been really good. You know, they're talking, we were left off at Hannah's song, and she was singing with her heart, you know, just praising God for, you know, really, he was doing something that was really impossible, you know, something that really lifted her up out of the dumps, and she just had to give him praise and glory. You know, the ears who are listening, and even as we read it, and people, you know, you hear it being read, or you're reading it yourself, or, you know, it's just a blessing to hear such songs. And, you know, and we can sing songs in a lot of different ways. Some, like I said before, some people have the gift of music, so they can sing well, and some people just have to praise him using the thanksgiving and honor, the words that he gives us as well. You know, one thing about this thing with tingling ears and stuff, as if you go back, I'm going to open a passage in Jeremiah, just kind of warm us up here. Jeremiah chapter 19, it says this on verse 3, it says, there proclaim the words I tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, listen, I am going to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. And that's what we're looking at here today. We're going to look at why, you know, what's causing these ears to tingle as the Lord has proclaimed. And we're going to say, why are the ears tingling and what's going on there? So we're going to be looking at that today as well to help us understand this situation. And I trust it will help us in our own lives today as well as thousands of years ago as we looked at the life of Samuel. Let's pray before we continue on. Lord God, yes, this is the day that you have made, and let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you, Lord, for this time together in your word. Lord, it is a powerful word. It is alive and active. It is a word that you have given to teach us, even if it's way back, but it's history. It is your history in the lives of these people, how you've worked. And Lord, we can learn so much. So I pray that you just open up our hearts, Lord, and that you just give me the words by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will receive all the glory and honor in this. Pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. That red ear, yes, I've been there. I understand that. I think that almost looks like me about 20 years ago. Okay. You don't believe that? You know, I didn't ever look that young. I did too. Deafening silence. As we look at this passage, it's very interesting, isn't it, how it starts off? I mean, it is really kind of a funny, I don't know, Three Stooges type thing. I mean, if you ever know the Three Stooges or something like that, this is something that you probably see on one of their scripts. But before we even get to that, you know, we have to remember, it says, there's a boy, Samuel, minister before the Lord under Eli. Excuse my voice. And he's growing up. Okay, he's not that weaned child anymore, about 3 or 4 years old, but now he's started to put some years up. Some people think he might be about 12 years old at this time. I don't know how they figured it out, but it might be good to just kind of think about something like that. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So we knew there was something going on. Remember, this is the day of the judges, and the people had the attitude that they would do whatever they best think is good for them, really. That was the attitude back then. They were losing touch with God. There weren't many prophets speaking his word to his people. There weren't many visions going out there. So the contact with God, you know, was tragic, because this is a people who walked with God, who saw the fiery pillar, right, and the cloud guiding them, the Red Sea being split before them, seeing him do lots of many different things, right? Powerful things. And they're so used to having him there. And of course, the Ark of the Covenant is still there, and that's where his presence, that's where he meets the high priest and talks with them. But it seems like that has been lost. So this is a famine. It is a deafening silence. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere. I've been out like in places like the desert, and it's just so silent. And it's so wonderful. And just sitting there going, wow. You know, it can be refreshing. Also, there's a deafening silence when you're alone and you're depressed or you're hurting, and you know, it almost feels like you just somebody's banging on you, even though there's no sound. So there's a definitely there's things going on. And this deafening silence is really something for the Israelites. They are in trouble. they're in trouble of their nation being swallowed up by the nations around them at this point. They're having issues. They don't have any direction. They're not really following God. Eli, which was the high priest at that time, his sons were not ministering correctly. They're actually held the Lord's sacrifices in contempt. So they were actually blaspheming God. And this is the priesthood. So the leadership of the nation, the spiritual leadership of the nation, was falling. And so the people are falling with it. But God, there's always hope in that. You know, and as I was looking at in Warren Wiersbe's commentary about this section, you know, he says, well, the silence of God was the judgment of God. So he's trying to get their attention, and they're still not getting it. So he has, usually in those cases, he'll intervene, because he has a plan and he's going to carry it out all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So he has that plan, and he's not going to let man stand in the way of it. Even though we're falling apart, he'll continue it on. And that's why he had this boy Samuel born at this time. This one prepared just for a time as this, right? And you look at that lamp, they talk about this lamp of God. And this is, you know, it says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. To me, I read that as hope. Hope. There's hope there. There's always hope with God when he's in it. There's always hope. And I believe, you know, this lamp was supposed to be taken care of and kept lit from evening to the morning time. And, you know, somebody had to stay up, right? Because I don't know how long those candles stayed lit, but if it went out, you know, woo, I'm not sure what would happen, but their job was to keep it lit. And that lamp is really representing the Word of God, OK? Okay, the word of God is represented in that light, the light of the world. Remember what Jesus says? I am the light of the world, right? So he's bringing light. So this is just pointing to Christ, actually, in the future, being the light. So this light, even though it's starting to get dim, it's starting to fade, but it's still not out. And God would not allow that. And then you go to this funny scene of Samuel going up and down, hearing the word of God. And sometimes it takes a little while to clue in. I don't know about you, but I had circumstances like growing up in Southern California, you have things called earthquakes. And a lot of times they strike early in the morning. So it's silent and dark. And all of a sudden, your whole world changes. and you know, for us, I mean, the construction of our houses and stuff like that lent to where we were safer than people in other parts of the world where, you know, it'll come down on them. But, you know, this breaking the silence is what God is doing here. And he's speaking to this young boy. Not to the high priest, Eli. Because Eli is so far removed now because of his reluctance to have zeal for the Lord and dealing with the discipline of his sons who were not doing right before the Lord with the sacrifices and his own gluttony, as we learn a little bit later on, and just his own attitude towards the Lord as well. Something got lost and transitioned in his life. I don't know. Maybe it's just those days of the judges where you just did whatever you want and he just said, okay, I'll do the same. Or maybe it was his example that kind of led other people to follow that example. And maybe he learned it from somebody else, or maybe he was just not ready to really go into that position to serve the Lord as high priest. But whatever it is, it took a quadruple call. If Eli was on it, he should have said, Samuel, the first time, Samuel, God is calling you. Lay down and say, hey, Lord, when he calls again, hey, Lord, yeah, I hear you. Speak to me. But it took four times. So, you know, there's that issue there. And some people say even today, with the word of God, even in the churches, there's a silence. There's not a lot of times, I mean, for this church, the word is read out loud amongst us. And I think that's honoring and it's empowering. But there's a lot of churches out there, they don't even open up the Bible. They start talking about other things. And so the word of God is dim, even amongst our churches today. And we wonder, why doesn't God act? Why doesn't he do something? Well, maybe you need to get connected with him first. And even then, you know, it takes a lot of courage. It takes an open heart. It takes humility. I mean, if you look at Samuel's posture, he kept on obeying. He got up each time and went up to his master and said, hey, here I am. You called me? You know, for me, the second time, I would have just stayed in bed, said, he could take care of himself. You know, if he wants coffee, he can go get it. He can get it. He's old enough, right? He can take care of that. No, he kept on going up and obeying the call. As a good servant, he had a humble heart. And then he laid down each time too. And then finally, Samuel caught on. I mean, not Samuel, Eli. He said, hey, lay down one more time. All right, and then so he does that, and God, this time, he says, Samuel, right? Calling his name. You know, I don't know about you. I think we've talked about this, I think, during the life groups or something, but when God called Moses, you know, he said, Moses, you know, it wasn't just once. He was calling twice just to catch his attention. And I don't know about you. Well, I know, like, living in L.A., if they said, hey, you, I don't look, all right? If they say my name, John, I kind of give them a glance and I say, oh. It depends who I see, if I keep going or not. But then if they say, John, you know, and I can hear it in a voice and I look, and then maybe I'll start getting a little bit closer, you know, and start ready to listen. So there's something about that. In the Bible, there's several places where God said the name twice. Abraham, Jacob, Martha, Saul, Simon. And he's trying to get the attention of this young man, even through Eli's deafness and blindness. He's speaking to this young boy. And it says there in verse 7, it says, now Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So he hasn't really experienced God. Now, he's been doing all the rituals, you know, taking care of what you're supposed to do at the temple and stuff like that. Isn't that interesting? He's there at the temple, and he's right by the ark of God. That's the very presence of God, okay? He's right by it. He's sleeping by it. And yet, the word of God had not come to him yet. You know, there's a patience in that. God's got that timing, that plan. You know, maybe he had to wait for a certain age for this young boy to actually understand what's going on, you know, what he's going to do. Because God's going to put a pretty heavy burden on him, in fact, through his message. And I'm not sure if a 5 or 6 or 7-year-old really be able to understand that. So God has patience. He's persistent in calling, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I praise the Lord for that because I don't know how many times he called in my life to me. He calls through the reading of the word, and he calls through his creation. His word speaks loudly. And I don't know how many times he called, but I know it's more than 4 times for me to finally get a clue that he's calling me. And I don't know about you. If he's calling you or if he's already called you and how many times it's been, but he is always speaking. He doesn't, you know, he's one of those guys that just, he's the Lord. He just keeps going. His word is just, it just keeps going, you know, through everything that he's done here and through his word. And that is wonderful. So praise him for that. So he calls to Samuel twice this time. So now he's going to get to know the Lord. Now he's going to have a burning bush experience. Now he's going to have a big light like Saul had that put him down on the ground. But this is a lot more gentler, isn't it? This isn't a scary burning bush. This isn't a light that blinds him. This is a kind father speaking to him. Samuel. And he's going, yeah. He finally goes, hey, here I am. You called me? He forgot to say, here I am, Lord, but he still didn't know him yet. So he just said, here I am. You called me? And the Lord started to speak to him. He gave him this message that he already sent a prophet beforehand. You know, that's a rare occasion. Remember that in chapter 3? There he sent a prophet to speak to Eli, telling him that, hey, judgment's coming. You know, you haven't honored the position. And now it's going to be confirmed in this when he talks to Samuel. You'd think it'd be something nice, like, Samuel, hey, you're going to be the next high priest, you can be the next prophet, you know, get ready, and, you know, he got some good things to share. No. You see what he has to share? Yeah, at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. Whoa. I don't know about you, but when you become a Christian, you become a prophet. You know, because really it's the word of God. That's what a prophet is. God speaks the word, and he speaks it to the people he's supposed to speak it to. We have his word, we speak his word to the people around us. And that's what we're supposed to do, so they can hear the truth, right? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. This is a judgment that I'm sure, you know, he didn't, you know, as you see, after God talked to him about the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering, and, you know, that's a heavy judgment, isn't it? And this little boy is going to have to give this to Eli, the high priest. That's going to take a lot of nerve. And I know for us to speak to our neighbor or sometimes even our family members or our coworkers or classmates or whatever about who God is and give them a little scripture to encourage them, it's tough. It gets kind of scary. It might not turn out as good as you think. And same thing for Samuel. You know, that's why I think he was laying down. I think he was going like this. In bed, he's just going, oh, man, what am I going to do? How am I going to escape? He's probably making a plan to escape. And then he finally said, okay, I just got to open up the doors and trust God. And then Eli is the one who came after him. He didn't go see Eli. He didn't go, hey, I got something for you, Eli. I got some news for you. You know, no, he didn't do that. Eli is the one that asked him, hey, you tell me, or else. You tell me what God told you, every word, or else. Breaking the silence, something new. See, this is something new. The ears are tingling now. Eli's ears are tingling with this judgment. And the people will hear this and see it coming to fruition as we read on. These words come true. And through this, people know that he is a prophet of God because the words were fulfilled in this message. And here, this is kind of something similar here. It says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. See, there's a message of hope. Even in a time when things are fading, the strength, our eyes, the word of God is starting to fade, but there's always that hope for those who love him. Because he's got a plan. And nobody can stop it. He's always going to raise up a Samuel, a Moses, a Abraham, a Jesus. He only had to do that once, right? To complete his plan, his redemption plan. Something new is starting here. Difficult for Samuel, but very important for the nation and for the Lord's plan of redemption to continue on through the Israelites and to the nations beyond that. It's interesting, isn't it? Because the megaphone effect. You know, don't give Bruce the megaphone for VBS. Where are you, Bruce? Yeah, there you are. We've learned lessons. There's effects that can last lifetimes. And same thing for this effect of this word in this young boy who's obedient and teachable and humble, and God raised him up to use him at a great sacrifice of the parents. I want to encourage you, if you read chapter 7 there, at the very end, do you know what? Samuel grows up. He becomes a man. And you know what? He makes a base, a home base for himself. You know where he did it? In Ramah, where his mom and dad are, his family. So there was a sacrifice, but God is so good. Even in that sacrifice that they made, now he's a leader of the nation. And he's right here at home now. My son. I mean, I bet you Hannah's going, woo-wee. I'm proud of him. She might have been just totally amazed. But his voice, the word of God, just went out like that megaphone and went through all of Israel. It just didn't stop with Eli, but it went through all of Israel. And they knew that he was a prophet. And something even more important than that is that God was with them. See, if God's not with them, then his strength will fail, his word will fall at times. But with God with him, he speaks God's word and it moves through the hearts of his people. And there's going to be change. There's going to be a new thing happening here. This nation that's all falling apart and everybody doing their own thing, they're going to be brought into a united group once again. And God's going to be their leader. And they're going to hear the word of God. And God, it says there at the end there of that chapter, says, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So now his presence is coming more regularly. His word is being heard more regularly, powerfully. Now the people are receiving guidance and hope and strengthening and truth and conviction. Conviction of sin when they are not doing what is pleasing to the Lord. Now they got boundaries. Now this freedom they got from Egypt, now where this freedom became something that just became ungodly. Without any boundaries, without any goals, without any true purpose rather than just self-serving ambition. Now, it's going to be shaped into something very important that will have effects, not only in this generation, their generation, but it comes through all to our generation today and beyond until the Lord Jesus comes back. So ears to listen. You remember how many times that Jesus says, hey, if you have ears, listen. Do you have ears? Are they tingling? Or are they open and humble and ready to listen and learn and be teachable? Because there's something like Eli's sons. I say this in all respect. But these are people who do not know the Lord. They have disregarded the Lord. They do not regard him as their God. I want to remind you that his voice goes out in love and hope, and he's reaching and saying, hey, come to me. You weary and heavy burden, come to me. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. But come to me. His voice goes out, not in judgment, because the judgment will come on that day when he arranges it. Yeah, there is a judgment coming. Eli's sons thought they had everything just right. They thought they can live the lives the way they wanted to, with no boundaries, no accountability. And so Eli getting them in and say, hey guys, you're not doing right. I gotta pull you off of that duty because you're not doing what's right. Where they get disciplined and they understand their sin, and hopefully by God's grace they come in conviction and they actually come before the Lord and say, forgive me. But that didn't happen. See, the cross, there's nothing the cross of Christ cannot forgive. But if you don't ever come to the cross, there's no forgiveness for you. So the word calls out loud and clear. His creation calls out to us loud and clear. He's real. He's a living, awesome creator God who loves us and sent his son for us. And your ears, if you're not following Christ right now, your ears should be tingling. And I hope they are. Because that could be hope for you to finally get right with God, to confess your sins to him, ask for forgiveness, and know that he will forgive. He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he calls out to us. So if you're in position of Eli's sons, God is there. The work on the cross has been completed. Excuse me. For each one of us. It is a work that only needs to be done once. Now, if you are Eli himself, that could be, you could be a Christian and have issues. I don't know how many times I've had times where I felt like I can't hear God's voice. I don't see him anymore. I just feel so far off from him. And I start thinking, I go, what's going on with me? Oh, have you read the word lately? Have you prayed lately? Have you talked with him? Have you gotten together with others for Christian fellowship? Have you told others about how Jesus saved you? How good he is to you? Have you served others out of love? See, the consequences for the lack of zeal, there are. Did you see what happened to Eli's family? See, we have responsibility. The word comes to us and we have it as followers of Christ. We are to proclaim it amongst our family and our friends and those around us. We are to speak the word, pray the word, and walk in it. See, because when we do that, and then it starts to go to the hearts and ears of others and listening. They might reject at that point. They might not. We can't control that part, but we are to be responsible in delivering the word, the good news, to the people around us. And when we don't do that, we lack zeal for that, well then consequences can follow. Sometimes our family falls apart. Our sons and daughters don't know Christ. Some of them die young. They go into eternity without Jesus. We don't want that. See, we are held accountable. If you think you can walk this Christian life like just knowing God, knowing about him, as we were talking with the youth group, knowing about God and just shrinking them down and as something that we can hold on to and put in our pocket and use them whenever we want, pull them out, things are going bad. Oh, I got to get my Jesus out. Oh, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. Oh, things are going okay. Put them back in. I'm going to live my life the way I see fit. See, that's just knowing about God. But knowing God is knowing how great he is and walking in humility before him. And in obedience, getting up 4 times even though you don't want to. Even though it's stupid. He's calling me again? No. Yes, I'm going to get up. Because I know my Lord. And he is good. And he loves me with a love that's unfailing. So as Christians, we have to be prayerful. We can't force people to come to Christ. That's not our job. Our job is to continue to pray and to speak the word to them. Just like Samuel in the days of Israel when they were so far off. And then we can be like Samuel, following Christ. He's given us a call. We can be obedient unto it. We can have this vital role impacting many. As the Lord desires to use us, we all have different giftings, different situations, and we're to use them, and whatever that looks like. And God will use us if we are obedient and we are faithful, like a Samuel. He could use us more than we can ever think of. Here's this little boy, 12 years old maybe, and now all of Israel's going, there's a prophet. We're going to listen to him. Same thing for us. You know, we live our lives in a committed way, staying in a word, praying, and watching out for others around us out of love and sharing with them how the Lord has built that trust with us, calling our names and calling us out of the kingdom of darkness and into his kingdom of light. So, you know, you want to know what's really impossible? This was impossible. Okay? In Jesus' day, and he died, and now his early church is coming up, there is so much resistance. So much resistance against this little group of people. They should be snuffed out. Once Jesus died, that was it. Their leader was gone. Now, so the word of God spread because they're faithful and obedient. Not because they're all smart and all that stuff. God was empowering, but they were doing what he asked them to do, and they did it even at the threat of death. Okay? It's not an easy thing, being one who delivers the word of God. But they did. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of who? Priests. These guys that were going, Jesus, kill him! Crucify him! And how many other of those disciples in Jerusalem were saying the same thing and following them? But now the hearts have changed and they became obedient to the faith. At the risk of losing their status, their position, their lives, their livelihoods. God calls us, just like Samuel, to be faithful, to be humble, to be teachable, and to be one of those who will go by faith, moved by his power, in his presence. Remember, that's what we have as well. We're not doing it alone. Let's pray. Father God, we don't want our ears tingling with bad news, but we want it rejoicing with good news, that we're able to share the hope that we have in you with others and see their lives being changed, or even that they heard it for the first time, they're kind of going, what? And just trusting that your spirit will just continue to move and do wonders in their lives. Father God, help us be faithful. Help us to be Samuels, to go in your strength with your word and hope to see many more come into Christ and receiving a call that you give out to each one of us. Thank you, Father, for your perseverance in our lives, your wonderful mercies and grace that abound. We give you the glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen.